Hello, welcome again to the Macro and Volatility Podcast, where we discuss the world of investing through the lens of cross-asset and derivative frameworks. My name is Michael Purvis of Talbach & Capital Advisors. We're a macro research firm for institutional investors. I'm here with my good friend and fellow markets prognosticator, Josh Silva.
Hello, I'm Josh Silva, Passaic Partners, an investment fund for institutional investors. We focus on generating alpha and reducing risk through the use of derivatives. Today is July 10th, 2024.
So Josh, let's recap some of the themes we've been talking about over the course of the year. One, where equity and rate volatility is going. Is this the summer of slow? On a related point, stock correlations continue to make new lows. What are your thoughts on those? And then let's get into the elections, both European and US, and how the markets and the vol markets are looking at that.
Sure. So let's start with the summer of slow, as we said. I think we talked about this a few months ago. We sort of thought this was what was going to happen, and it's sort of what's been playing out. Correlations continue to remain low. We'll talk about that a little bit. And markets have the continued up and to the right theme going on. Equity and rate vol, as I said, remain low, but realized vol is even lower. In fact, we would like to say in the vol world, collecting equity vol risk premium in SPX in particular is a very, very profitable trade at the moment. It seems like markets continue to be a giant rotation game, today being a little bit of the exception. Software bid one day, software bad one day, and semiconductors good. IWM, bad. QQQ, good. I think that will take some sort of a shock, some sort of extraordinary event to sort of break because it's just working. The earnings are working, the stocks are working that are working, the stocks that aren't working aren't working, and that's sort of where we are, which is helping that correlation, low correlation is helping also to keep vol relatively low, or realized vol, I should say. Hopefully we're not in a January 18 / February 18 market moment. So Michael, why don't you talk a little bit about what's happening with Europe and the elections, European population, and sort of start looking forward to our own elections in November.
Yeah, so you know, we talked in our last podcast about what was happening in the French elections, and there was some anxiety with French sovereign paper blowing out. You saw a little bit of a tick up in euro volatility. The euro itself was trading sort of more, sort of tick for tick with this blowout in the French sovereign spreads. All that's kind of, you know, we've had the second round of the French elections. Le Pen didn't do as quite as well. The left did better. So some of that anxiety, well, I would say from the market point of view, all that, a lot of that anxiety has faded there. What it seems to be looking at is sort of a little bit of a left-right populist mess, and maybe France facing more sort of probability of some stagflationary concern, a lot of Macron's reforms that personally I think were needed and good, you know, are now, well, you know, look like they may be tossed to the curb.
You don't raise the retirement age, as the saying goes, yeah, in politics.
As it is, people continue to live longer.
Yes.
there. So it's an interesting dynamic, of course, in any country, But anyway, the point being here is that the euro vol has settled down. The French sovereign spreads have retraced almost back to half of where they were before this. So this is kind of interesting to keep an eye on. There is sort of a broader thematic development of the rise of populist policies in developed markets there. But in terms of is this going to be a factor that causes the VIX to, you know, scream to 40 one day? That's just not, you know, we didn't think it was a few weeks ago. It's really confirmed that it's not going to be right now here. You know, what is also interesting is, of course, the U.S. elections here are now around the corner. You know, they're less than 4 months away. Obviously, Biden's debate was had a rather challenging debate to performance, putting it mildly here. And I think one of the big themes, and I, you know, Josh, you and I have talked about this in the past, but you know, certainly a theme that I've been championing is that there is neither side is really got a sort of a whip inflation now plan, right? As you saw back in the 70s, and you have this condition where you know, if Trump is elected, and certainly look the chances of him being elected were a lot more obvious after the debate, that you're going to see a higher back end of the bond market term premium there. And you saw that. You saw that, particularly in the 30-year, you saw the 230 yield curve blow out 30 basis points. You saw the 30-year break-evens, the 10-year break-evens blow out there. Some of the cooler data we've received since the debate have sort of tampered those down a little bit. But I think there's some stickiness there. And we'll see. You know, who knows what's going to happen in November with the elections. But I would suggest to you that if Trump does win, and particularly if he wins with a good chunk of Congress on his side, that term premium is likely to stay in there. What does that mean for equities? I think it's sort of a complicated and kind of messy story, because Trump's going to do some stuff that would be probably, you know, better for many equities, corporate taxes, less regulation, the usual stuff, than say a Biden presidency would. But ultimately, if the risk-free rate on the back end of the Treasury curve is in a higher place than it might otherwise be the case, because Trump is effectively assembling a loose monetary, loose fiscal, pro-tariff, pro-deportation policy, that seems to be it at a high level, that you're going to be, that is going to be marginally more inflationary than whatever Biden's going to serve up.
I think there was a top on Bloomberg today that basically said the main thing that's losing with this election is tight fiscal policy. In other words, it doesn't matter who wins or loses. There's going to be either some sort of tax cut or some sort of spending or some sort of inflationary event. And we could both, I think, getting to the conclusion that this fight against inflation is going to get more difficult no matter who wins.
Yeah, but in my mind, it's the combination of the loose fiscal with the loose monetary, which, you know, it's pretty clear that Trump is no big fan of Powell's. Powell's up in a year after the inauguration, right? So that's around the corner, right? And it's pretty clear also that Trump doesn't mind dovish policies, right? Have you ever met a real estate guy who didn't want lower rates? So I think that's it. And then, of course, on the deportations, let's see if that actually becomes a reality or not, or to what scale. But that's something that would be pro-inflationary and higher tariffs. So it's a combination of those three buckets I think spells out a higher inflationary
issue. And I think even if the Democrats were to recover from I'm basing this all on the betting lines, even though we're not supposed to look at betting lines, recover from the debate. And I think that there's some of their policies we talked about, whether it's, you know, just different things that they're looking at, are also kind of inflation. And I think the risk to the market continue to go higher is inflation. Now, that being said, inflation, it's not too high, tends to be good for equities. It's when it really explodes or it tends to be bad for equities. And so I think that's the bond market, with what you talked about with the move in rates, is starting to sort of say, hey, maybe we need to start thinking about this as something that in the future where it hadn't in the past. That being said, the vol markets continue to stay tame. There's nothing showing within the equity markets. And I tend to look at, when vol gets low, I tend to look at skew, which is like the cost of insuring, as I like to say. What am I going to insure? And so when I look at the cost of insurance, whether it's equities, whether it's fixed income, whether it's commodities like gold upside calls, for instance, would be something, or currencies like we talked about in the last podcast, I'm seeing no evidence of people hedging. So in other words, I think people are like, markets are good, markets are fine, I don't need to worry about things, I don't need to hedge. And therefore, we've sort of seen a market that is very complacent in terms of downside risk or inflationary risk at this moment, at least in the vol markets. When I looked at the elections, again, as you talked about, France was what it was. UK ended up being what everyone expected with labor coming in. And so we've had a quiet summer, even though we had a lot of important events in terms of elections. Going into the fall, I do think that people are going to start thinking about, what does the world look like if there is a transition of power? What does the U.S. election look like? The markets, again, aren't saying it. The vol markets aren't saying it. And so what you could say, even though realized vol is low, absolute vol is also low. So insurance is cheap and skew is cheap from an absolute level.
You're right. You know, it's funny. The 20-day realized vol for the S&P 500 right now, just as we're doing this, or the last couple of days anyway, has been the lowest since 2019, through the whole COVID era, and it's one of the lowest on record frankly. Right now, we're right around 6 for 20-day. It got a bit lower at times in 2017, but the premium of the VIX, the volatility risk premium, the spread of VIX to 20-day realized vol is almost 7 points, which is in the top quartile of all the readings, while the actual realized vol is in the bottom 2% of all readings going back, more than a decade. So it does sort of set up encapsulate your argument that we have low absolute levels of volatility, which makes it good for hedging, but the VIX is not showing complacency at the same time.
No, people are, well, because they're afraid of the upside. And this is the one, you could say one of the most hated rallies in history. 2017, the market wasn't hated this much, but it seems like everyone just doesn't believe in where we are and where we're going. Well, let's end it there. That's it for today. Again, this is Josh Silva of Passaic Partners. You can find me on Bloomberg, the website www.passaicpartners.com, or the Passaic Partners LinkedIn page.
And this is Michael Purvis at Talbachan Capital Advisors. Find me on LinkedIn or at Bloomberg. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you soon.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.